Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This week we're talking about the 1972 children's album, Free to Be You and Me. The project, conceived by actress Marlo Thomas and Ms. Magazine, aimed to challenge gender stereotypes and promote equality through songs and spoken word. This month marks the 40th anniversary of Free to Be You and Me. And joining me here in the studio is CBS Sunday Morning contributor and Soundcheck regular, Faith Saley. Hi, Faith.
Hi.
So did you grow up with this?
I did. I love this.
Now, so what do you remember about listening to it as a kid?
I remember that it was always, I think we listened to it once a year in school. So that was always a fun day. It meant the teacher didn't want to teach class that day. So they'd dim the lights and you'd watch the TV program.
There was a TV special, right?
A book and a record.
Right.
And,
but the record came first.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I was introduced to it in public school.
Really?
Yeah. Why? How were you introduced to it?
My sister.
The gender-neutral fairy came and left it at your house?
Yeah, no, my sisters. One or two of my sisters. It was never clear to me whose record it was, but it was in the house.
Right.
So
we heard it in school, and then to me, it was doing it in different musical theater productions. The first play I did, I got to do the girl baby in Boy Meets Girl.
Go again. I told you, I'm a girl. I know it. I'm a girl and you're a boy.
I think you're wrong.
I am never wrong. What about shaving?
What about it?
You just shaved, right?
Wrong.
Exactly. And you know why? Because everyone's born with a clean shave. It's just that girls keep theirs and boys don't.
So what does that prove?
Tomorrow morning, the one that needs a shave, he's a boy.
Well, I can't wait until tomorrow morning.
See, that proves it. Girls are patient. Boys are impatient.
Yeah? What else?
Can you keep a secret?
Absolutely.
There you go. Boys keep secrets. Girls don't.
Go on.
Are you afraid of mice?
No.
I am. I'm terrified of them. I hate them. Squeak, squeak, squeak. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A fireman.
What did I tell you?
How about you?
A cocktail waitress. Does that prove anything to you?
You must be right.
I told you I'm always right. You're a boy. And
oh,
I'm a girl.
My goodness. Mel Brooks and Marlo Thomas from the album Free to Be You and Me. So by the time you heard it, were you old enough to kind of get the message? And
yeah, I think I was. I remember by the time I did Boy Meets Girl, I knew it was funny because I was 12. But even when I was younger, I thought like the song William's Doll, I thought was, I knew it mattered. And the song went, I remember the song, When We Grow Up, Will I Be Pretty? And the song says, it doesn't matter if I'm pretty. And I remember thinking, even when I was seven, like, I want to be pretty. Like, it does matter. I wasn't completely sold on the message yet, John.
When we grow up, will I be pretty? Will you be big and strong? Will I wear dresses that show off my knees? Will you wear trousers twice as long? Well, I don't care.
Celebrating 40 years of this project, which was then a book and a TV special. Faith Saley, now that you have your own son,
yeah.
Augustus, who's still, you know, he's born this year.
He's moldable. I could make him into a cocktail waitress if I really tried, John. He's 5 months.
So are you playing this record for him?
I sing it to him. I sing him It's All Right to Cry a lot, and I sing When We Grow Up. And last night, I broke down sobbing playing him William's Doll. Who knew that was coming? I hadn't heard it in years, and I played it on my iPhone.
Uh-huh.
And there was something so touching about it. I think it was because I was getting him ready for bed, and I was burping him like a baby, and it was a day when the gender stereotypes were in full play in the Saley Semmel household, and his father had not done any parenting, and his mother had done all of it. And
not going to touch that one.
But I was thinking how important it is for a child to be loving and to be loved gently by both parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me cry.
Faith Saley with us on Soundcheck. And we're joined now, and just in time, by Dr. Diane Ehrensoft. She's a clinical psychologist. Maybe can help you with that sobbing thing, Faith. She's also author of the book Gender Born, Gender Made. And Diane is a founding member of the Child and Adolescent Gender Center at UCSF, University of California, San Francisco. They're director of mental health as well. Diane, your children listened to this record as well?
My children cut their teeth on this record. The month this record came out was the month I became a mother with my first child. So our children just, I think, consider this the Pledge of Allegiance. That's how much they heard this song.
Now, when you first bought the record, were you aware of exactly what you were getting, or did it just seem to be like, hey, here's a kid's record and it features Marlo Thomas and a bunch of actors?
I should say I was completely aware. I was just finishing my doctoral dissertation, which was titled Sex Role Socialization in Preschool-Age Children. So I had been already studying this for a number of years, and I am also a dyed-in-the-wool 1960s feminist.
Mm-hmm.
So I had already been going around to schools talking about why do we have pink blankets and blue blankets and working with children about breaking down stereotypes. So I was delighted when this record came out.
Oh, my God, Diane, I love you. Will you be Augustus's adopted grandmother and give him pink clothes?
Yes, and the other thing I wanted to tell you, Faith, it's a sorry story, but your little five-month-old Augustus is not going to be that moldable.
Oh, no, tell me. I need to know this.
Because what I've learned over these many years of both raising my own children and working in the profession is children have some very strong ideas about their own gender, and that's part of what we have to learn about them. And so we can give them important messages about breaking down stereotypes, and that's wonderful. But who they are as a boy or a girl and how they want to be a boy or girl is very much set by them as well. So we have, that's a very humbling experience. I had two children, a girl and a boy, determined to raise them gender independent and with no stereotypes. So we had dolls, we had trucks. I had a boy and a girl. Nobody played with the truck and everybody played with the dolls.
You know what? That's kind of liberating as a parent, that I can do so much to offer him, you know, both sides, and he will teach me what kind of boy he's going
to
be.
Exactly. And Faith, when you were saying about wanting to be pretty, my daughter went through the same thing. She said, that's pretty dumb. What's wrong with being pretty?
Right.
And what I've learned is everybody should be feel free to be pretty. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. Why wouldn't everybody want to be pretty?
Now Diane, have things changed? I mean, we're talking about a record and then a book and a TV special, 40 years old. Did it change anything?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was a real game changer then, and it has been played in households all over America. It's been watched. It's been read. And I just, again, 40 years later, want to give a tribute to Ms. Magazine and Marlo Thomas for doing this. But it's gone way beyond them, as history always should go forward from 1972 to 2012. So now, instead of William wants a doll, William can tell you William wants a dress and William wants to be a girl.
Right,
or William is a girl.
Now, that's the song that Faith mentioned as well, which brings up a question I want to ask to both of you. But first, why don't we hear, just to remind people what the song sounds like. In this song, a little boy named William wants a doll. It takes him a while to get one. Marlo Thomas and Alan Alda do the singing.
A doll, a doll, a doll. William wants a doll.
So William's grandma, as I've been told, bought William a doll to hug and hold. And William's father began to frown, but Grandma smiled and calmed him down, explaining,
William wants a doll, so when he has a baby someday, he'll know how to dress it, put diapers on double, and gently caress it to bring up a bubble and care for his baby as every good father should learn to do. William has a doll, William has a doll, 'cause someday he is gonna be a
From the album Free to Be You and Me, we're celebrating its 40th anniversary this month on Soundcheck. That's Alan Alda and Marlo Thomas, the creator, the prime mover behind the project. and a Williams doll, and we are speaking with Faith Saley, who is blubbering in a corner here in the soundcheck studio.
I look like one of those pageant winners who's like fanning her eyes so her mascara doesn't get wet.
And on the line with us, Dr. Diane Ehrensaft, who's author of Gender Born, Gender Made. Okay, here's my question about William and his doll. The song, for most of its length, you know, talks about William wants a doll and all the things he wants. He wants to learn how to dress it and change the diaper and give it
Hold
a bottle
it,
and
love
all
it.
And then there's this kind of moralizing ending at the end of the song that says, well, here's why he wants the doll, because he's practicing to be a dad.
That's a great point.
Which always
almost
seemed to
undermines
me,
it, right?
It almost seems like, you know, it's like, don't worry about any other implied message about William wanting a doll. This is really why he wants. So I guess, Diane, I asked you before, have we, you know, how much did this change things? It seems like a girl wanting to be a boy, a tomboy, that's kind of fun. And people look at that and say, oh, isn't that cute? But a boy wanting to be a girl is still, you know, we still have this kind of image of the sissy as something that's negative.
I would say things have changed. Things have not changed. Both are true. Sexism is alive and well. It's still more valued to be male than female. So when a male crosses the line, people raise their eyebrows, get nervous and anxious. When a girl crosses the line, if she doesn't cross too far, people are fine with it. So a girl coming out in a football uniform, that's cute. Mm-hmm. A boy coming out in a princess dress, that's a showstopper still in 2012. So all that is still happening. On the other hand, as we know, when the New York Times Magazine has a mainstream article around boys wanting to wear dresses, gender fluidity in all children, that they can move along from male to female, something has radically changed. Mm-hmm. So what I do think, we have to remember that Free to Be You and Me was 1972.
Right.
So there was a progressive message here. And indeed, we were trying to get daddies then to take responsibility for childcare. In that sense, it was a good message. It was a bad message, and that's the only reason a boy should play with a doll.
Mm-hmm.
A boy should play with a doll like any girl should play with a doll, because it's a doll. And it's fun to play with dolls. And what we've learned in 2012, and more people are listening, is that little boy's mom or dad may say to him, you know, it's okay for boys to play with dolls. And that little boy may say back, you're not listening to me. I know that. I'm telling you, I'm a girl who plays with dolls. And that's a very different phenomenon, which we're opening up our eyes and ears to in 2012.
And I guess that would be one of the points of the Child and Adolescent Gender Center there at UCSF?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We came together from many different disciplines saying we have to give all of these kids who are gender fluid, transgender, gender nonconforming, gender variant, whatever the category we put them in, a place to be supported and be able to be who they are, just like we were supporting William to have a doll. So we've all come together to do that, both with providing services, but also as advocates in the community.
Faith?
I remember when I have two brothers, and one is gay and one is straight. We did not know that at the time they were little, and my oldest brother, who's straight, wanted to be a baseball player, and I remember my other brother, who's younger, always said he wanted to be a mom, a chef, and a monkey. And he kind of ended up being both a mom and a chef. He's a great cook, not professionally.
Mm-hmm.
How
is he as a monkey?
And he is a he is a parent with his husband.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's interesting thinking back that probably the vocabulary that a tiny boy had back then to say I want to care for a baby when I grow up was to say I want to be a mom.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I remember when girls my age, I'm 41, and when we were asked what we wanted to be when we were little, I mean, there's the song Parents Are People, and it says that, you know, girls can be, mommies can be ranchers. But I was surrounded by homemakers. That's what they were called when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a lot of girls would say, I want to be a mom and a lawyer. I want to be a mom and a veterinarian. But you never heard a little boy say, I want to be a fireman and a dad. Being a dad was always just part of the package. You got to be one.
Well, that in itself, you know, the idea that the I mean, there are things in Parents Are People that some people now look back and say, well, that's a little dated. But the ultimate message, the underlying message of this song is that mommies and daddies can be almost anything, although there are a few things they can't be, according to Marlo Thomas and Harry Belafonte.
Some daddies are writers, or grocery sellers, or painters, or welders, or funny joke tellers. Some daddies play cello, or sail on the sea. Yeah, daddies can be almost anything they want to be.
They can't be grandmas or mommies.
Parents are people.
Parents are people.
People with children.
People with children.
When parents were little, they used to be kids. Like all of you. But then they grew. And now parents.
Marlo Thomas, Harry Belafonte singing Parents Are People from the album Free to Be, You and Me, celebrating its 40th anniversary this month. And earlier in the song, Marlo is singing about all the things that mommies can do, yep. All the jobs they can have.
They can be ranchers and cleaners and bakers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Diane, I mean, you know, there's obviously a very fine message there, but then there's also, you know, the few things, a mommy can't be a daddy can't be a mommy. Is that a message?
Sounds a little focused on the family, doesn't it?
Well, there's a few things about it, because, you know, my original copy of the album is on vinyl. Mm-hmm. So I went last night and downloaded on my iPod and re-listened to it. And I realized when I heard that in 1972, it was like, oh, that's a nice song.
Yeah.
When I heard it this time with my consciousness of 2012, I went, wait a second. I know a lot of mommies who became daddies. I know a lot
right.
of grandmas who became grandpas.
Yeah.
And we have that issue about transgender changes that happen. And a good message for all people and children to know is that gender is not fixed and it can change, and we need to leave room for people to be who they are. And the second thing was definitely around family, that it's very focused, and the whole album really is focused on heterosexual families.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear someday we'll be wives, someday we'll be husbands, not in every state if you're gay.
Right.
You know, four more states look good right now, but it was very much based on traditional models of family and directed towards becoming a family.
Now, what about, you know, for kids, and I mean, Faith, your son, Augustus,
mm-hmm.
5 months old
yep.
now, is he already seeming like a boy? I mean, we have two girls, and from day one, it seemed like they, whatever we tried to do to be gender neutral, they were pushing themselves in the girl
direction. So interesting.
So what do you do about kids who are kind of gendered, strongly gendered in ways that we now think of as very traditional,
right.
maybe even passé.
I'm very conscious of, excuse me, for a baby shower, we were given a bunch of it was a book a party. So we said, not baby gifts, just give us books. And since I have lots of gay friends, we got many copies of Eloise at the Plaza
mm-hmm.
and Black Beauty and all these Little House on the Prairie books. And so that's one thing that I'm excited to read. I don't know, John, because I don't have a girl, but I have to say that when I found out I was having a boy, I made a very conscious point to, even when I speak to him, I try to use the same language I do if I had a little girl. So I call him sugar and pumpkin and,
mm-hmm.
and sweetie pie. And I hear our doorman call him buddy and dude. And it always sounds so strange to me. And also, I will say that on Halloween, I dressed him in a pink sleep suit. And everyone said, who bought that for you? And I said, I bought it for him. And I said he was dressed as a warrior against hue-based gender stereotypes.
Nice. Diane, are we just expecting too much from a record that came out 40 years ago, that it could actually by itself start a whole movement that would sort of undermine gender stereotypes? I mean, should we just sort of say, what a good effort that was 40 years later, it still has a place?
I think we should say it's a wonderful effort, and it in itself is not going to move mountains. And we have to remember that that album came out of a context where people are already thinking about these things. So it both moved something forward but reflected a sea change at that time. So, and that's wonderful. And I think it's great for both parents and children to do is to watch and see everything with a thinking eye, so that if you hear William's doll, then you can talk about, well, is it really just about becoming a daddy? So it's a kickboard to move it into 2012. And so I think it's an album that should continue to be celebrated and honored, very much so.
And if you were to make a part two, volume two of Free to Be You and Me, what would that be like?
In my volume two, I would give stronger messages around the following, that who you are as a boy or girl and how you're going to be a boy or girl is up to you to tell your parents, not for them to tell you how to be. And that who parents are people who can help stretch the horizons as far as possible so all children see they have many options, like wearing a pink Halloween costume no matter what your gender, and that we can make a more genderless world. I will just tell a personal story in terms of what we could take into volume two. I had two children, one boy, one girl. They were both quote-unquote femme. It was fine for me that my son was, not fine that my daughter was. So I tried to make her a strong girl. So when she wanted to be a princess for Halloween in kindergarten, I said, that's great. But you are going to be a practical princess who makes your own bed and goes to work. And I'm going to sew your costume. And I made her an Audrey Hepburn elegant streamlined costume. She hated it. She hated it. And she has never forgiven me. She is 40 years old this month. And it was one of the biggest mistakes I made as a parent, is not listening to her and honoring who she was.
All right. Well, that's actually a pretty good place to leave it with.
We need the song William Wants a Dress.
Yes, we do. That would be perfect in volume two.
Diane Ehrensaft is a clinical psychologist. She is author of the book Gender Born, Gender Made. Faith Saley here in the studio is a regular member of the Soundcheck Bullpen and CBS Sunday Morning contributor. Faith, Diane, thank you both for being with us.
And thank you so much for having me.
This is Soundcheck.